everybody. I'm Beatty Cohn-Franos. And, you know, it's interesting. Every single time I hear this music, there is this smile that automatically just comes on my face. In fact, I'm sitting at a microphone right now in my office here on the Upper West Side of New York. And what I really felt like doing was just getting up and dancing. But today we are going to, of course, be talking about relationships. And as many of you know, and for those of you who may be tuning in for the very first time, I am a psychotherapist and a sex therapist. I'm the author of the really important book on relationships, For Better, For Worse, Forever, Discover the Path to Lasting Love. I'm also a columnist, and I have news for all of you. As of this week, I am the new columnist for Dan's Papers in the Hamptons. So we're going to have a Ask Beatty column, and you're going to be able to submit questions. And I'm really excited about this. I've written so many Ask Beatty columns over the years. I love to write. And of course, people, we all have a lot of questions about how to really improve our lives and our relationships. So this is my new venture. And of course, I am also a national speaker, national radio and television expert guest. And I have a private practice here in very, very hot New York City and also in East Hampton. And for those of you who've been listening to this show for the last, I can't even believe it, it's about 7 years right now. Now, my show is about empowerment, all of the things that we can do and need to do to, and of course, it's not just talking about it, but it's putting the doing into real action to improve the quality of our lives and our relationships. So what do we talk about here on the Ask Beatty Show? Well, we talk about mental health issues, of course, and sexuality and relationships and how and what we need to do to maximize our physical and our emotional and our relational well-being despite the stressors. And we all have a lot of stressors in our lives. And my mantra is basically acknowledge and address and resolve as best as we possibly can the things that get in the way of our lives and our relationships. Understanding, of course, is that we cannot change our history. We cannot change anything that's happened 10 seconds ago. But what I have found as a psychotherapist and sex therapist, and I've been practicing now for over 35 years, and every single week when I say that, it's like, oh my God, I cannot believe that it is over 35 years. But what I've discovered is that there is a way to really emotionally help people to work through what did and did not happen in our own earlier lives, typically beginning with our own families of origin, so that we are then able to really live life in the present without having one foot in the past and one foot in the present. And what I hope that I've really convinced you over the years is that we don't need to do this on our own. We don't need to take this journey by ourselves. And the importance of reaching out to family and friends, and I'm talking about functional family and friends, not toxic family and friends, and if need be, professionals to make our life journey easier and less isolating and alienating and lonely. Because if we're looking at what is going on in this country, let's take a look at some of the depression statistics. For example, in the United States, and I think these numbers have really gone up in the last year and a half since COVID, we're talking about 17 million adults in the United States who are suffering from depression, which translates into 7.1% of all adults, females 8.7%. children present. And what about anxiety disorders? Well, approximately 40 million Americans are suffering from a variety of anxiety disorders. There's a lot of stress and there is a lot of anxiety. And if we're looking at the CDC, the Center for Disease Control suicide statistics, every single day in the United States, 130 Americans die by suicide. And in fact, suicide is the second leading cause of death in the world for those aged 15 to 24. Our younger people are having a very, very difficult time these days. And what about divorce? In fact, I was reading an article in the New York Times just before the show began today where the divorce statistics and people who are reaching out to divorce attorneys, those numbers are really, really skyrocketing. Whether or not it was because of COVID or whether or not with COVID, people really had to take a very, very hard and honest look at their relationships. But in fact, if we're looking at the divorce rate for first marriages, it's 48% of couples marrying for the first time end up divorcing. And what about for a second marriage as well? 67% of second marriages also end in divorce. And what about for third marriages? One hopes that we've hopefully going to be learning something and we're going to be making better choices. But the reality, my friends, is that 74% of third marriages also end in divorce. And what about teenage dating violence? You know, when I think about, I grew up in Winnipeg, Canada, and as a teenager, I mean, I'm sure there were ups and downs in our dating relationships, but it was never discussed. And I suspect that it happened very, very rarely where there was teenage dating abuse and teenage dating violence. And what we're finding right now is nearly 1 in 11 females and approximately 1 in 14 male high school students report having experienced physical sexual dating violence in the last year. And what's interesting, and of course, we really want people to speak out, and hopefully the Me Too movement has really encouraged that, because only 33% of teens who were in an abusive relationship ever told anyone about the abuse. And 81% of parents believe that teen dating violence is a non-issue. So parents, we really do need to talk to our teens, and we really do need to open up our eyes and our ears. But the reality is that there are many things, many, many things that we can actually do to improve our life every single day. And of course, Dr. Gary Null, he talks about the importance of plant-based diets and fruits and vegetables and supplements. And these are things that are really important that help us live healthier lives physically and also emotionally. And if we look at the people in Sardinia, because I always like to look at what is working for people around the world. So as an example, people in Sardinia, they live the longest. So of course, I'm really curious when things are working well, what are these people doing? Well, they eat healthily, they interact and socialize. The importance of socialization, they sleep 8 hours a night, they take naps. And of course, we all know about the importance of exercise and weight training and meditation and yoga. And these things, they really, really do make such a difference in our lives. They are great antidepressants. I mean, yes, some people do need some antidepressant medication, but I know that for myself, if I'm feeling anxious, if I'm feeling uptight, the thing that does the best for me, of course, I talk to my husband, Jim, but I reach for my free weights, and I have free weights in my office. And in fact, before every single show, even though I've been in the media now for so many years, I need to find ways to chill out and to relax. So I always do my weightlifting. And of course, for those of you who know, I am a competitive tennis player and spent so much time in front of the television these last couple of weeks watching the US Open. And of course, the training that goes into being a professional tennis player, it's really unbelievable. And I myself, I mean, I was ranked number 10 in Canada as a junior, and tennis today is a completely different kind of a game. The power, the teams that all of these people have access to help them reach the top. It's really quite something. So exercise, my friends, it does wonderful things for our endorphins. Of course, it also does wonderful things for our body. And of course, the importance of having supportive people in our lives, supportive with a capital S, and the importance of eliminating toxins. I know that when Gary Dell talks about toxins, you know, he talks about, and a lot of people talk about, chemical toxins. And when I talk about toxins, I also talk about chemical toxins, but I typically talk about toxic people. And that sometimes includes friends and family. And for those of you who've been listening to the show for all these years, you know that I have a zero toxicity policy. I don't want any toxicity in my life. And, you know, I had a patient of mine who came in a couple of years ago, and she says, you know, I have a great marriage, but once a year, my husband, he gets out of control and he gets drunk and he pushes me around once a year. And I said, but once a year, that's absolutely not okay. And of course, in getting to know this woman, what I learned is that she was beaten, brutally beaten, virtually every single day when she was a child growing up by both her mother and her father. So in her mind, before therapy, you know, she thought, well, once a year, that's not so bad. But my philosophy is that a little bit of poison is poison, and poison will kill us whether or not it is a small amount of poison or a lot of poison, so that we have to find the strength. And again, that oftentimes means reaching out and getting some extra help in eliminating toxic people from our lives. So what are some of the other things that we can do? Well, positive visualization. We can imagine ourselves anywhere, talking to anyone at any time of the day and night. Of course, this takes a little bit of training and mindfulness, but it's a really wonderful thing to get yourself out of a really, really low mood. And of course, dancing and listening to music and getting out into nature, these are all wonderful, wonderful things that we can do that doesn't cost any money. And what I found too is helping others and giving back. It has been really a wonderful, wonderful way for me to spend the majority, certainly, of my life, my professional life. And it just has made me feel wonderful to be able to help really thousands of people improve the quality of their lives and their relationships. And I've dealt with some very, very psychiatrically, you know, ill people, you know, people who've had the courage to reach out and ask for help. And that's something that, you know, I've been trying to, you know, really get across for many, many years, is that it is not a weakness. It is a strength. And when I look at all the professional athletes, they have teams, they have people, they have coaches, they have all kinds of resources available to them to help them maximize their potential. And it's the same kind of thing that we really have to do in our own lives, is that we need to give ourselves permission to realize that we do not need to navigate life's stressors on our own. And of course, you know, things that we know, eliminating sugar and soda and alcohol. And I give my patients the same homework, regardless of what the presenting problem may happen to be, every single time. And that homework is this. And I want you to really think about doing this homework as well, to make sure every single day, and that may mean every single hour, as you navigate your days, to ask yourself this one question. And this is what the question is. Am I being good to myself? Am I doing right now what is actually in my best interest? And it takes some time to think about it. And we have to be honest and we have to be mindful. Or on the other hand, am I engaging in behaviors or relationships that are either destructive or self-destructive or self-sabotaging? And then we need to find ways to pivot. And I'm using that word because I have an amazing guest today, and pivoting happens to be her, or one of her mantras. And my guest today is a woman who I only learned about a couple of months ago from a colleague of mine, from Annette, who I think we're probably going to be hearing about and hearing from a little later in the show. Annette, who has probably been to almost every major rehab in the country, she called me up a couple of months ago and she says, "Beattie," she said, "you need to meet Lori Jean Glass." And I had to confess, I had not heard about Lori Jean Glass. So Annette said, "Look, I have just come back from one of Lori Jean Glass's retreats, and it has been a transformational experience for me. And you've got to meet her and you've got to get her on the show. And we have to get the word out about the amazing program that she has in Southern California." And for those of you who've been listening to the show for all these years, you've heard me say I am not a fan. I am not a great fan of American mental health. I'm Canadian and I did my graduate and postgraduate work at McGill. So, but I trusted my colleague Annette, who was a writer. And I thought, well, okay, this sounds really good. So Lori Jean Glass, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Ask Beattie Show. I am thrilled that you're here.
Oh, it's really a delight to be here. And thank you so much for reaching out and inviting me to be here today.
Well, absolutely. And I understand that your story reads like a heartbreaking novel, but it's tragically true. Apparently, your father drowned when you were a little girl. Your mother was an alcoholic and took her own life when you were a teenager. And what's interesting is that your personal journey, your own personal journey, included abandonment and pain and challenging relationships and isolation. And I was reading here that you were talking about constantly boarding what you call the crazy train of secretive, addictive, and self-sabotaging behavior to avoid uncomfortable situations in an attempt to desperately find peace. But look at what you have done, that when you finally understood how to approach relationships from a healthy perspective, your life started to change and you found the inner strength. And you're going to tell us, of course, in a couple of seconds how you did this, not only to turn your own life around, but to start helping others by developing the pivot process, which we all want to learn more about, as a powerful method for identifying and overcoming the root causes of attachment. And you found it and opened. And Annette has told me that the Glass House is an amazingly beautiful place, a residential retreat program designed for individuals, couples, and families who want to take a deeper dive into the pivot process to achieve immediate relational repair and growth. And you're a best-selling author and a speaker. So what I want to know is, how did you do this, Laurie Jean Glass?
Well, first off, I just want to acknowledge your enthusiasm. So I really appreciate it. I haven't met you before either. And so I just really appreciate how just your passion. I can feel it.
I'm excited.
You. Yeah, I love it. I love it. And, you know, all of that is true that you shared. And you know, obviously I go into it in my book, hashtag Healthy Adult. And really to kind of simplify it, what happened is to me is what happens to, you know, thousands and hundreds of thousands of people where I just realized one day my life wasn't working. And it felt like a Mount Everest when I would try to attempt to help myself and get the right help. So I began a change process where I was, you know, over-labeled and under-treated.
And, American mental health phenomenon.
And confused, not clarified. And just really just felt worse, really, in the beginning of the change process. Now, I do want to say this. I have a lot of friends who are incredible therapists, and there are a lot of facilities that do incredible work. What happened for me, though, was I did not have a good experience in the beginning, and it left me really kind of in this dark place of wanting to be able to help others. So I really started from the beginning of my change process documenting and taking a look at what was working and what wasn't working for me. And all of that time spent and money spent and energy spent really helped me understand why it's confusing when people have complicated attachments. And then I decided to kind of dedicate my life to creating a way that people could easily understand their own developmental psychology and pivot to a healthier adult, a healthier human being.
So it sounds like you were really able at the beginning to find a good therapist or therapist that would help you to get into a place where you were then able to move forward and
well,
develop.
I had a good therapist. The challenge for me was that 1 hour once a week was not
right.
enough. And it wasn't enough because I was, you know, I personally, I've never met somebody with just one something they could find in the DSM-5 to describe themselves. I very rarely meet some of the most successful people that I've had the pleasure of working with have, you know, multiple challenges depending on who they're in relationship with and what's going on in their life. I mean, I do think at some point in time, and that's probably a different conversation for another day, but I think you're intuiting what I'm saying here, that, you know, my hope is that we can find ways to do a better job to help empower people, like you were saying in your intro, as opposed to confusing them. So my experience was when I finally got to a man who was a mentor of mine and an incredible therapist, his name is Richard Litfield, he's no longer with us, and he really saw me and he really encouraged me to stay on my journey and pushed me. And I mean, I invested in him. I was going sometimes 3-4 times a week just so that I could understand what was really going on for me and not live in the confusion. And that's one thing that's important to note. And then for me, I got labeled with something that was so shaming that I wrote an article that's in the Huffington archive somewhere called Love Isn't Addictive, Here's Why. So I was labeled with this term called love addiction when my reality was I had attachment disorder from so much loss. There's also a lot of stuff I don't write about. It's not in my book, but I'm also a sexual abuse survivor, et cetera, et cetera. Uh-huh. There's, you know, obviously a lot more there to unpack. And And when I was given this label of love addict, it was destabilizing because I don't believe I was ever even running in a consciousness of love. Like, I didn't even know what that would look like. I was living in this constant state of desiring and craving something that I knew nothing about.
Right.
So no matter what, when I would get into relationships with other people, and I did because I was charismatic, I was smart, yet I was very controlling and not even aware of it. And I would get into relationships with other people and become uncomfortable quickly because I was always seeking safety. And in my seeking safety, I would attach either anxiously or avoidantly or ambivalently. So I don't believe that people, especially people with trauma, have one attachment style. I believe that people attach differently to different people in different circumstances for different reasons based on their developmental psychology storylines. And many of them, by the way, flip. So when we're talking about developmental psychology, we're looking at who you are as a child, who you are as an adolescent, and who you are as an adult. And many people are very different people in those different stages because they onboard new survival patterns in order to manage and tolerate their feelings. So many times they're not even addictions. Right. Sometimes people are just thrown into centers when what they're being treated for is not really even the core of what's going on. And that is what happened to me. And that's what happens to many people out there. Now, let me make this clear because I don't want your listeners to be confused. There are many people with pretty severe addictions that need to get clean first before they can address that stuff. I'm definitely on board with that. But sometimes it doesn't get properly diagnosed.
No, I'm absolutely with you about improper diagnosis and the labeling and the overprescription of medication in this country. It's really an abomination. And, you know, what I certainly have discovered over all of these years, you know, and I know I sent you a summary of my program yesterday, is that unless our early issues are really dealt with, I mean, even though we can't change our history, but there are a lot of good ways to emotionally help people get to the root of the problem, to emotionally help people work through what did and did not happen in their early family lives. And unless that happens, which is why, you know, it makes me crazy when therapists talk about only cognitive behavioral therapy. And of course, that's a fine enough therapy and behavioral therapy without realizing that the people need to go back and work through these early issues. And I've really found that if there had been a way to avoid doing this, and if there had been a shortcut that we didn't have to go back and look at the early attachments, etc., I mean, I would have found this out a long, long time ago. And that is the first step. And that's one of the things that Annette was telling me about your program, is that you go back to the beginning, right?
Well, what we do is we meet them where they're at. We start with today and we take a look at how they see themselves from what we call the whole perspective. It sounds like kindergarten, but it's getting a clear snapshot as to who they are financially, physically, intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually. Because everybody has a different process that they go to. There's not a one-size-fits-all. And taking a look at oneself gives us a real good snapshot into how people really feel about themselves. Then from there, we do a whole boundary process with them, because it's hard to go back and do a lot of developmental psychology work if you don't really understand what's going on for you currently and you have a good support system in place. And that's where the relational circle boundaries come into play. So when I started doing my work, what would happen is I would get opened up and my inner child that I call Savannah today, my inner child would get activated, and then she would leave and she would go grab onto somebody to make her feel better, which oftentimes wasn't even somebody that I could fully trust. So if we don't have a good boundary system in place with supportive people that are in our lives, it's very difficult to navigate the terrain of healing. So what we do is we start with the whole perspective, then we go to the relational boundaries, and then we go into the survival patterns. And at Pivot, we believe it's just as important to not just understand your childhood, but it's also understand what happened to you as an adolescent when you were hopefully being able to individuate in a healthy way in your family system. But many people don't. And that's where it becomes complex, because most adults that have challenges in relationships fluctuate between two ways of feeling and doing, from their child learned behaviors to their adolescent programmed behaviors. And usually their adolescent selves are acting as a gatekeeper for any kind of drama or trauma or whatever complexities happened in your childhood. Your adolescent will onboard these conditions that, believe it or not, are still very much alive in your adult self. So not to confuse your listeners with multiple personalities, but there are very clear, distinct ways that we shift, if you will, pivot, no pun intended there, into these different developmental stages. And so what we do is, after somebody has a really good reality, that's why we talk about pivoting from fantasy to reality. Who are you today from a whole perspective? Right? Intellectually, spiritually, financially, emotionally, and physically. Then how are your boundaries in place? Are you ready to take this deep dive? And then we take the deep dive together and we go back and we see what happened, because it's true. You can't change your past, but you can understand it. You can Absolutely. Understand it. And when you understand it, it helps you, because I'm going to be one of those people. I'm going to be sensitive my whole life. Like, I embrace my sensitivity. My sensitivity helps me with empathy. It helps me understand others. But if I don't have good boundaries around that sensitivity, I can get lost in it. I can get really affected by the way that other people treat me. So I have
well,
to have
my
healthy
this is
adult.
The whole thing, you know, Lori Jean, as you were saying, is that we have to be so, so careful who we let in into our lives. And, you know, it's interesting that before I did the book, I did research with 450 people in the Boston, Providence, Connecticut areas. And before I really dived into this whole area of looking at how to assess who's right for you and who's wrong for you, whether you're looking at romantic relationships or other kinds of relationships, when I think about the way I used to be, I would meet somebody and I would say, this would be a typical comment. I met this really nice woman, or I met this really great guy. And what I've learned, of course, as a result of my clinical work and research and books, I would never, ever make that kind of a statement. So I'm going to put you on the spot, but I already know you know the answer. What would I say today? I would never say I met a lovely person. What would I say, Lori Jean?
Well, I would need to know you more. Because I believe that different parts of you would say something different. That's my point. Different parts. So depending on how you felt that day and what was more in that storyline, then I could properly honor you and say what I think you would say. Because that's the piece of the relational circle boundaries. Like at Pivot, we don't believe that it's either, and I know you don't either. Well, I don't know that you don't, but I'm assuming that you don't either. Relationships are not black and white. People are not in or out. And even if we are not, if we don't like somebody, it doesn't mean that we can't learn to be relational with them. In fact, I think that our world would be in a much better place if everyone operated with something similar to the relational circle boundaries. Because what we teach is that there's five levels of relating. There's
right.
people that are in your inner circle. Those are people that you just know without a doubt they're always going to be there. It's somewhat unconditional. For some people, it's just their spiritual relationship. For other people, they really have human beings in there. Many people have their dogs in there or pets, because there's so much unconditional love that's offered by a pet. Then we've got our good circle, which is about trust, reciprocated. Then we have our semicircle, which means that there's a shared interest. So sometimes we have to be in relationship with people. And we can talk about that more here in a second. Even if we don't want to, or even if we want to, we might really love them, but they might not be capable of trust. To me, it's not about love. To me, it's not about love. You can love somebody even if you know that they're not 100% going to be able to be there for you. And then right, you've got your acquaintance, right. You've got your acquaintance where people, you need to be cordial. And then you have the outer, and those are actually people that are unsafe to you, where you make the conscious choice to have no contact for however long you need to. So they're reciprocal. They're not always reciprocal in outer, but you might have to make that choice. So, you know, it gives you what we call relational freedom because you really actually know where you stand with people and you don't have unrealistic expectations of others, especially when you're trying to have other people fill your wounded places that they're
right,
not
and
capable
it certainly
of fulfilling.
Takes, you know, it certainly, and it certainly takes, you know, a while to really find out who somebody is and isn't. And, you know, and what I, as I said, what I used to say was that I met somebody that was wonderful. So today and for all of these years, I would never make that sort of a comment. And the best I could say is that I met somebody who appears to be wonderful and great and lovely and trustworthy. And what my research found was that it takes about a year to find out who somebody is and isn't using my 10-step formula based on the book For Better, For Worse, Forever, Discover the Path to Lasting Love. And it has changed. It has absolutely changed, certainly the way that I look at people. And it keeps us safe. I mean, that's the bottom line, is that you're really looking to see, you know, whether or not this person, this kind of a relationship is going to be able to meet your needs, and that it is something that is healthy. And, you know, talk about the need to play out the points of the match. And we can't see this early on. I mean, you and I know, you know, you can meet somebody who appears to be just wonderful and great and loving and kind, and boom, you know, all of a sudden there is a switch. And this is why, you know, I always tell people is that we have to have some patience, even though we want connection and love and we want to be loved and we want to love, to be able to really look at the reality of what these relationships are and what they are not.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. And again, it's like we can be okay if we already know what it is that is at our core. So if right. you've got an abandonment, I love Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth. And if you have a pain body that's going to get activated, if you're neglected, abandoned, or whatever it is that really sets you off, you have to be the person that's always taking care of that, not the expectation of somebody else. And, you know, it does take time to meet people. And, you know, some people are pretty intuitive and they can get a pretty good idea quickly. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just know that if your cadence is going to get quicker, then you have to be responsible for knowing that you could get into an accident. Just like cycling, you could get into an accident. And if you get into an accident, you got to pick yourself back up and go find a different road to ride down.
No,
you know,
for sure.
It's really interesting to me.
You know, one of the things that I found really interesting is that your 5-day, you know, relational retreat is limited to 6 people. And I love that, so that you don't have 20, 30, 50 people, you know, who are trying to engage in a process. How do you go about screening who these 6, and you have women's groups and men's groups, you don't have co-ed groups, is that right?
So our retreats are just one offering that we have, right? We do, I have coaches that, by the way, our retreat center is in Northern California, not Southern.
Ah,
and
okay.
the way that we do those 5-day retreats, which is, again, just that's for when people want to take a deep dive into the pivot process. And the way that they come in is really, you know, we're not treatment. I made the conscious choice. I worked as an executive director of clinical operations at a licensed facility for 8 years where the content was kind of curated and tested. So when I went out on my own to do this, when the founder of that center decided to retire, I created Pivot to just be there for anybody. So similarly to any other place, we'll accept anybody. So you just simply come in and you go through our screening process consists of, you know, filling out a questionnaire. We have an admissions director that has a conversation with you. You know, we're scanning for stuff. If somebody's in active addiction, obviously they don't come and we don't have them come. And if they do come, we've made it very clear that you can't drink or do anything while you're there. So if they do, we just simply invite them to leave until they can come back at another time. And that's happened maybe once in the whole time we've been open. So we really just are welcoming to anybody that wants to, like our tagline says, think better, feel better, live better. So it's a small group so we can truly, truly meet people where they're at and then have them come in and go through our process. What's a little bit different about our retreat is that each day you also have a one-on-one session with a facilitator that is your guide and walks alongside you every single day you're there. So instead of just it being all group, it's also individual work. So what we do is we teach concepts and then we drop down into how to apply it to yourself individually. And then we work it out experientially later on in the day. So it's kind of really, it's a cool environment for people to feel like they're just there to learn how to have better relationships. Mm-hmm. It's not for people seeking a mental health facility because they're looking for something to send their daughter or their spouse to. We're not a place where interventionists send people unless the people they want to send are really on board and want to come in. So you have to be first and foremost really willing to want to come in and take a deep look at the way you are in relationship to yourself first, and then how you're taking that self to connect to other people. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. And of course, there's tremendous benefit with the group experience. I mean,
much benefit. You're right. Yeah. And right. We also, for people that don't want groups, so like I have two of my advocates that flew up from LA this last weekend, and they worked with a couple that flew in and they were there by themselves. So we have people come in to do their own work, or we can go to them. So like I have a coach that lives in Florida, and she just flew up to Nashville and worked with someone for a full day to take a deep dive. And those are called personalized pivots.
So you have coaches.
Yes, I train them. So different therapists and coaches come in and they go through the Pivot Academy.
Right.
So it's a whole thorough training system where they become certified in the Pivot process. So this isn't just something that we, you know, have a conversation with people and then send them out. It's a whole deep process that people are trained on so they can really help people that come to our brand understand again who they are and why things are the way they are relationally.
So people may be coming for themselves and then may decide that this would be something that they would like to do, that a gift that they would like to give to others. So then you have this training program so that they too can become coaches.
No. Well, yes and no.
Okay.
We just don't, not anybody can just become a coach, right? You have to have some type of background or some kind of experience in order to do what we do. That's why a lot of therapists are being drawn to our brand and also becoming relationship coaches. Mm-hmm. So what they do is people that come and have a good experience will typically then want to have their spouse or their siblings or even their family, because we do family intensives, then they'll just want to share the experience with other people. So then they'll too jump in and do their own work. So we have a lot of people that will come in and do the 5-day and then onboard their spouse. so they can do like a couples intensive, because it's then they have the same languaging. It's kind of like when we do couples packages, each couple. So instead of a couple coming together and having one facilitator, when a couple comes to Pivot, they each have their own facilitator. So they really feel like somebody in the brand has their back. So when they do a group session, there's four people in that session, not three. So it's really
pretty
effective.
Intensive. I mean, this is a very intensive. I'm just looking at the, you know, the Pivot 5-day relational retreat. I mean, people are working, and I think it's a great thing. They're working very, very hard with you and the other coaches, right?
Well, just again for your listeners, they're being empowered. They're working hard. They are taking a deep dive, but they are so. Gosh, what's a great word for it? I mean, Annette probably told you, I'm sure, when she downloaded to you. They're just so grateful that somebody's making sense of what has been and felt so confusing inside of their body. You know, I love Bessel van der Kolk. He talks about, you know, how your body keeps the score. Because we also incorporate yoga and meditation and mindfulness practices, they're just so grateful. Like, so it doesn't feel like they're there, like, doing all this work. Yes, it's not always easy, but it's really just a journey that they start and that they just jump into. And it feels really supportive. It feels respected. It feels good to be seen, because so many people come to us and they just want to understand themselves and to have somebody else actually see them accurately. It's kind of like when I was sharing about when I got that label of being a love addict thrown on me, when I'm just sitting there thinking, well, I don't even, I mean, I was like, you know, I want to know what love is. That's like my anthem.
Right.
Foreigner, you know. I mean,
well, we actually have Annette on the phone, and I'm very, very curious, Annette, for you to tell the listeners about your experience and what it was about your experience that really helped you to make a shift. So welcome, my colleague Annette.
Hi there. Yeah, I'll preface it. I wouldn't come on the line for too many people other than Lori Jean Gliss, because I'm a behind-the-scenes writer, so just want to put that out there, that I love the experience so much. There's so many things that I can talk about. One of the major things for me, I thought everybody was in my inner circle, people that didn't call me back for 6 months, people that ignored me in the hall, people that basically wanted nothing to do with me. Somehow, I pushed them in that inner circle, and I felt if I was strong enough and lifted enough weights, I could get them in the very center. And that just led to decades of heartache. And so now I just have to accept the fact that the person who, you know, calls me back every 3 months, like, you know, she's somebody I might speak to every 3 months, and she's not somebody I'm going to run to and share something that's meaningful to me. And so I'm really kind of digesting all that, because I've recently returned from the retreat. And I guess what was also nice is it was a lot of work, but there was also a lot of fun. I really got to kind of bond with the people there. And, you know, we're all on a group chat now. We keep in touch almost every day, catch up, because we really learned to care about each other, because we really got to know each other and trust each other. And so I'm really grateful. And also the experiential work, I learned a lot about myself. I mean, I knew what my trigger was, abandonment, but I just was able to kind of look at it through a bigger lens. So
it sounds like you've learned a lot. And of course, you know, the most important thing is not just in the learning, but in the doing. So that in the doing, since you've been back, do you feel that you've been able to use Lori Jean's, you know, word to pivot?
I really do use those circles. I have to consciously say to myself, I'm not going to call this woman in my building, because she doesn't really care that I had a good day or a bad day. If I see her in the elevator, I might say, how are you doing? And quite frankly, unfortunately, I did have somebody in my inner circle, a little dog that I will never get over, Romeo, and he passed away. And he was in my inner circle. He was there, you know.
Right.
When I had a call from work, he was there. When I came home, he was there. And so it's sad to know that my inner circle is not really full and robust. Mm-hmm. However, at least I'm not going back to people that will only hurt me. So,
well, you know, and I think it's true to say, Annette, that you have yourself now in your inner circle. So you're learning, you're learning to really actually be an advocate for yourself, which is what a lot of people, especially people that have had a lot of trauma, have a hard time with, because, you know, the way that you shared how you have that abandonment button and wanted to put people in your inner circle, we also have a lot of people that avoid intimacy. Just as many people come in avoiding intimacy because they just don't want to deal with the pain. So that's why the being able to have a process that's so individualized to truly meet people where they're at. And introduce the cadence that's not going to hurt that individual is, I think, where the respect comes from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, I go back to, you know, really having a sense of the reality of the relationships that we think that we would like to have and the relationships that we would really like to be in. And it sounds like this inner circle, this five relational circles, that this was something that was very eye-opening for you, Annette, because you've been to so many other rehabs, and this was sounds like a very important takeaway for you that helped to clarify the relationships that you should maybe just toss away, and the relationships perhaps that you should say hello, goodbye, maybe once a year.
Right. The outer circle has grown. And as Lori G said, you know, it doesn't mean that certain people are in a circle forever. You know, it can evolve.
Absolutely. Well, and like, one, look at all these hopes. People that are...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, look at how many people marry into families and they have conflict, but yet if they just were able to put those family members into their semi-circle and the shared interest is the actual spouse that they actually all love, then you don't have the conflict. Like, you don't have mm-hmm. to put unrealistic expectations onto people. Then you have shared interests. So each piece that we teach, just for the listeners so they understand, there's a full, you know, module that goes with it. And that's been such a game changer. I mean, I've gotten so many flowers and thank you cards just by helping people not abandon their family systems that they marry into and just respect people enough to let people be who they need to be. Like, why are you trying to change people to accommodate your old trauma wounds that are your responsibility to heal? And I know that sounds kind of harsh, but it's actually true. Like, many people hold other people hostage.
It's absolutely true. And of course, the reality is that we can't change anybody. The only people we can really change, you know, hopefully, is ourselves.
And that's the best we can do. When you don't know, it's a tall order when you don't understand what's wrong.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So when we, the main core piece of what we teach is relational alignment, and that's applying. I talk a lot about think, feel, do, and the think is rational thinking, the feel is emotional intelligence, and the do is a healthy do. So what we do is we try to shift people from habitual do's to healthy do's. And if they're applying and learning how to have higher emotional intelligence, which takes time when you keep getting triggered in your developmental parts, and you can also apply rational thinking when you have a plan in place, then people can actually pivot and get into relational alignment. And I know that might sound kind of funny for your listeners to hear, but people that have done a little bit of work will get that. Like, oh, okay, now I understand that. Because if you're just working on your emotional intelligence, but you don't have a plan, you can keep, again, just falling down. The bike is going to crash.
No, exactly.
Because you've got to have some... Mm-hmm.
Now, listen, Lori Jean, how can people find out more about you? We've just got a couple of minutes left, and I wanted to make sure that people, you know, would want to read about your program, find out more about you. What is the best way to do this?
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, the best thing is to go to lovetopivot.com, LoveToPivot.com, lovetopivot.com. And our admissions gal, Kayla, is awesome. She can answer any questions people might have. They can also, if they're just curious about developmental psychology, they can take a peek at my book if they want to make a $17 investment. It's on Amazon. Super easy to find. Just put hashtag healthy adult into the search bar and it will come right up. And really, that's kind of like the best way. They can follow us on Instagram if they want. Love to Pivot. Anything
sounds
Love to
terrific.
Pivot, you're going to find us. Yeah.
Well, sounds
Because we
terrific.
Want people to love to pivot.
Well, listen, we all love to pivot. In fact, my tennis coach, that's one of the things that he was telling me this morning. Hey, Beanie, you need to pivot. So whether or not we're talking about pivoting on the court, pivoting in our relationships, it's a great word. It's a great description. So listen, Lori Jean Glass, thank you so, so much for being on the Ask Beanie Show. To be continued, I hope. And thank you, Annette, for calling in. And have a great rest of the day, everybody, okay?
Thank
Take care.
You.
Thanks
Thank
again.
You so
Bye-bye.
Much. Uh-huh. Bye.
Well, you know, it's always interesting to get people's perspectives, people's different perspectives on relationships. And, you know, I think that Lori Jean has some interesting concepts that she has developed and that have evolved over the years. And as long as you are in situations with people who are truly willing to acknowledge and address and resolve issues in your relationships, I think, you know, under circumstances like that, it is certainly okay. And it's really helpful to try and resolve difficulties. However, if you are with people who continue to make you crazy and upset you and may, like the woman I was talking about who had a great life with her husband, but he would hit her once a year when they were away on a cruise in the Caribbean. I mean, for me, I still have a strong belief that there should be zero toxicity in our relationships. That does not mean zero problems, because we all experience problems in all of our relationships. But I believe that we have to, and I've said this many, many times, we have to be very, very careful who we allow in our lives, and that we have to have clarity about ourselves and the homework that I talked about at the beginning of the show, to really be aware and mindful as we navigate our days and nights, to make sure that we are living our lives in ways across the board that are truly in our best interest, and that we are not engaging in destructive, self-destructive, or self-sabotaging behavior under any circumstances at all. And if we are able to pivot in that way, and if we are able to be mindful, I can assure you that our lives are going to be healthier and happier. So I'm looking at the clock, and an hour has clearly come and gone here on the Ask Beanie Show. And I want to thank all of you again for tuning in every single week. I appreciate your comments, your emails, and your texts. So I leave you with my weekly message. And of course, the two messages are, we have to do everything that we possibly can to live life in ways that are in our best interest. And that means be good to ourselves. And of course, the second message, and I've been talking about this for years, is that we all need to do a much, much, much better job in learning to love each other. So goodbye, everybody. I will talk with you next week and every week here on the Ask Beanie Show. So have a good rest of the day. Love yourself, and let's do a better job at loving others. Goodbye, everybody.